You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
Welcome back. This is the New Hampshire Now program on KXL. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the show is brought to you by New England College, as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health. And this segment of the show presented by Paradigm Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning. That's who my family trusts to call for all our plumbing, heat, and air conditioning needs. I encourage you to experience the Paradigm Shift by checking out ParadigmPH.com. New Hampshire primary interviews on the program presented by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's uniquely New Hampshire. For more information, check out RathLaw.com. Now we head out of the campaign trail to catch up with the governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, during his first campaign trip to New Hampshire as a candidate for president. So we're out on the campaign trail here in Bedford, joined by the governor of Washington, Jay Inslee. And your candidacy is so intriguing to me because you are a happy warrior, a guy who is coming out and talking about the issues in a way that has humor. Yeah. But your message is one that is extremely dire, and you were talking about potential extinction of humanity.
Yeah.
How do you kind of combine those two, and how dangerous a time period do you think we live in? I mean, you said the next president of the United States is going to determine whether or not, you know, humans essentially survive down the road.
Well, I think this is a moment that calls all of us to respond to two parts of our personalities: one, recognizing reality and challenge, and two, having confidence that we are confident enough to take action. Certainly the challenge of climate change is unfortunately a crisis. The scientific community has made clear that we have very few years to act, and this is a clear scientific reality. And the depth of the challenge is really difficult to comprehend, but I've seen it firsthand. I've been to Paradise, California. This is a town of 25,000 people that was essentially wiped off the face of the map. We've seen floods across the United States, in Houston and Cedar Rapids in Iowa. In Miami Beach, I've seen the fact that they have to raise their streets because they're flooded already, and fish in Main Street. So we have to understand the depth of this that really will degrade the chance for our grandchildren to live a meaningful and healthy life. At the same time, we have not to be frozen into passivity and action. And that means that we have to be optimistic. We have to hew to our can-do nature as a people. And we have to rise to the challenge like we did in defeating fascism and going to the moon. We have to seize those, what I would call the hidden energies of our hearts, and unleash those. And I think a president can help America do that.
Beto O'Rourke described the individuals that are fighting climate change as essentially being the Americans who were taking the beach at Normandy. I thought there was a little bit of hyperbole there, given the nature of that. What were your takeaways from those comments? Do you think it's important as well, you know, to be serious in your remarks? Because if you say something like that about individuals fighting climate change, it's easy for individuals to push that aside and say these people are not serious if you're saying something like that.
Well, I'm more for action rather than rhetoric.
Yeah.
And the action I've taken is several. Number one, I'm the only candidate who has said very clearly beating climate change has to be the first priority of the United States. It has to be the first, foremost, and paramount duty of the United States. And the reason it's important to commit to that is that if it is not job one, it will not get done. I'm the candidate who's been fighting this for 20 years. I'm the candidate who's co-authored a book about it. I'm the candidate who has helped found the U.S. Climate Alliance. So I have a unique position both on action we've done, and we've actually got things done. I'm the candidate who's actually got things done fighting climate change in the state of Washington. So I think the combination of the recognizing it has to be job one, my success in fighting it in my state, and the vision statement I will have that's consistent with the optimistic can-do nature, that's a winning message in America. And people understand that. Look, in Iowa, this was, amongst Democrats, the number one highest priority, tied with health care. This is a magic moment. It is our moment.
In your remarks, you mentioned the difficulty in winning an argument with Republicans in regards to this because of the fact that many, you acknowledge that our governor here in the state of New Hampshire, do not even fully believe in climate change. So when you have to get to 60 votes in the Senate to pass a measure of this nature, how do you go about convincing Republicans that are skeptical? Because to me, it's the economic side of things, that you can push forth an argument in regards to what needs to be done with a 21st century economy and a potential green economy. So how do you win over, as individual who's been in Congress and has gotten things done as governor, how do you win over individuals that
are skeptical about even what you're telling them?
Well, we have to face a reality that the Republican Party at the moment is in total thrall of Donald Trump, who says climate change is a Chinese hoax. And as long as that party has that attitude, it's very difficult to find a way to get them to be productive. So we have to do what is obvious, which is to remove the filibuster. The filibuster is an absolute stop sign to any meaningful progress on climate change.
Right.
And when the world is on fire, we cannot allow an antebellum, antiquated, archaic rule that is not in the U.S. Constitution to block something that can save our humanity and our civilization. We can't allow that. So the civilization needs to go the way of the dodo bird. It's way beyond its usefulness. And I am the only candidate, and this is somewhat shocking to me, actually, that I'm the only candidate who is saying that right now. You have these senators who want to cling to this senatorial privilege. You can't be serious about fighting climate change unless you're willing to say the filibuster has to go. I am willing to do that because I understand how critical this is.
A gentleman asked you about raising the gas tax 20 cents a gallon. And gas tax is kind of the third rail of the middle class economy, in that individuals never want to see their gas prices rise. Will you commit to not raising a gas tax to fight this? Or do you see raising the gas tax, president rate since 1992, as being an important measure to implement the policies that you wish to implement?
Well, I've been a governor of building the most successful economy in the United States. My state has the greatest GDP growth, the biggest wage growth, and the best job creation. I think that's a template for the rest of the country. And that includes building transportation infrastructure. It includes putting thousands of people to work in a $70 billion transportation infrastructure package. They have built not even a birdhouse in Washington, D.C. Under Donald Trump. So I believe we have to build that infrastructure. I believe it's good for job creation. And if you believe in a growing America, you ought to believe in building bridges and trains and new systems of high-tech transportation, and giving people more access for cars as well. And we're going to start driving a lot more electric cars, by the way. In my state, we're helping people get electric cars. So if you're going to do that, you have to be willing to make that investment. I'm willing to do that.
Following on rural workers, we have seen President Trump have significant success with rural workers, has had significant success with rural workers, particularly in the last election, but has not delivered on items such as you mentioned in regards to infrastructure.
Right.
How do you go about swaying Trump voters away from Trump, or do you worry just about the majority of voters in this country, which could lead to electoral success? Do you go at Trump voters and speak to them directly, or do you look at the plurality of voters that are in a different direction?
Well, I intend to connect with Americans who have felt economic anxiety. For one reason or another, did not feel that we had a vision statement that helped them in 2016. But I intend to do what we did in 2018, which is to flip 7 governorships. I was chair of the National Democratic Governors Association. We flipped 7 seats from red to blue, and it's because I worked with our candidates that created a vision statement of what I call meat and potato politics. Putting people to work, building roads, putting people to work, having decent schoolhouses, having better education. These kind of messages resonated with people and connected to their economic anxiety. And the clean energy message around jobs creation is perhaps the most promising one, because I can go into communities like in Michigan. Look, I'm driving a little shiny blue General Motors Bolt made in Michigan by American workers. I was arguing with Meghan McCain about this on The View the other day.
Yep.
She says, well, you're going to get rid of your cars. And I said, well, that's funny. I had a car made in Michigan that drives on electricity, made by Michigan workers. That's the kind of vision statement that I intend to bring, and I think there's every reason to believe we'll be successful.
Governor, great to see you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
That is Jay Inslee. New Hampshire primary interviews presented by Rath Young and Pignatelli. That segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing and Air Conditioning, and this hour of the New Hampshire Now program proudly presented by New England College as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.